What if awakening wasn't just about you, but about lifting humanity into a new golden era? Today, I'm joined by Cynthia Rivard, spiritual teacher, seer, energy master, author, and environmental advocate. With a background in executive leadership and a profound spiritual awakening, Cynthia now describes herself as a crystal clear channel devoted to guiding others into higher frequencies of living. In her book, Hope for a New Era, she illuminates humanity's path toward co-creating the long-anticipated golden era. Her teachings invite us to trust our inner wisdom, embrace joy and fulfillment, and take conscious action so that no one is left behind on this journey of awakening. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you in the episode. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman, and today I'm with Cynthia Rivard. Like I said in the intro, she's a spiritual teacher and seer, which I'm really intrigued by, energy master, author, and advocate. And so her book, Hope for a New Era, she's really bringing about this idea of what is here for us in the world. I believe that we're co-creating. And I want to really dive into what you mean by that, Cynthia. I think it's really going to guide our conversation today. And, you know, we met on Podmatch, which is a newer, you know, service that I've joined, and I'm meeting spectacular people. So I want to thank them for, you know, hooking the two of us up. But welcome to Mystical Sisterhood.
Oh, thank you. I'm really delighted to be here and looking forward to our conversation, Maureen. This is going to be fun.
It'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun. And so I think that when we met a few weeks back, you were telling me that your former career was around leadership and working within business. Mm-hmm. And so then you had this spiritual shift. I don't know where makes sense to begin for you, but I trust that you know.
All right. Well, I do like to share that I had what's known as a spiritual awakening very late in life, very recently, actually. And I like to share that because I was of the opinion that you're either gifted with this stuff or not, you know, and if it was your calling, you would have come into it when you were a child or a teenager. And I just missed the boat. I wasn't out there when they were handing out the intuitive gifts and that kind of thing. And I love to share that my spiritual awakening was not, it wasn't just that I wasn't looking for it or too busy and didn't know what I was looking for, which was all part of it, but it wasn't meant to happen until very recently, because now is the time. We are starting to evolve into this new era. And so I was guided to wake up, to open up that channel of communication with divinity, which is the spiritual awakening, or the definition I was given that everyone talks about. When you recognize that that intuitive gut feeling or that knowing that most of us have experienced many times through our lives, but we don't recognize where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. And when you recognize that's your divine aspect or higher consciousness or inner knowing, I like to call it the divine GPS, actually. Our divine GPS trying to communicate with us. When you recognize that, you're spiritually awake, but it's a skill to develop. And most of us don't enjoy being not very good at things. And so we may just kind of leave it at that and keep going. But I invite everyone to lean in, because now's the time. If you've been called to listen to this episode, and you don't feel like you have really developed your intuitive knowing, now's the time. It's just a skill and it is available to everyone. So thank you for allowing me to share that. So that happened for me probably, well, I didn't recognize what I was doing at first, so I'm not exactly sure when it started, no more than 5 years ago. And probably about 3 years ago, well, when the frequencies expanded, so the emotional frequencies that are available to us as humans expanded exponentially, just the whole scale went up and expanded so that we could expand, well, a couple of years ago, it was in 2023.
Okay.
And when that happened for me, my frequency went through the roof. And when you're operating at higher frequencies, it's a lot easier to receive communication from divinity because they operate on a very high frequency.
Okay. Yes. And so was that information to you too? Did that come into your understanding based on what you began to receive in terms of the emotional yes. frequency increasing? Was that was hand in hand with what you were getting and receiving?
Yes. I didn't recognize it at the time, but my claircognizance became much clearer. And okay. I was also relying really heavily on clairsentience, which are feelings given to us in the body. I had this little cheat system where certain sensations meant certain things. And I relied okay. on that really heavily when I had an idea to just validate if I was heading in the right direction, and is this what I'm meant to receive? And anyway, it just went crazy after the frequencies expanded. And that's when I became more aware that this was, you know, clairsentience and claircognizance, and yes. that I was channeling. If I had started out thinking I wanted to develop that, I would have been defeated and hidden my head and not even gotten started. So it just kind of snuck up on me, we'll say.
Okay. And then how did that feel as things were coming to you? You had come from a different sphere where I'm guessing you didn't really use the language in your, mm-hmm. in your work necessarily in this way. And so was there a period of like, okay, how am I going to show this part of myself? Or did you just know that's what you needed to do?
No, I resisted. Absolutely. Until you really, really understand and trust what's coming through, you will resist because typically our inner wisdom is guiding us quite often in new directions. And what do humans do? We resist change. Mm-hmm. And for me, like I was guided to get into energy work, and I thought, well, I love to learn. That's great, but what the heck am I going to do with that? I'm a business coach.
Sure. Yeah.
So I resisted somewhat, but then it comes down to if you recognize where that guidance is coming from, why resist? And so I questioned it, I should say. And I kept going mm-hmm. back, are you sure? Am yes, I really yes. supposed to do this? But I never said no. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I just kept going and kept embracing those new directions. I am in a completely different space now. I never had a desire to be an author, and I published 2 books this summer. It's a lot yeah. easier, I must say, when the words are channeled and just come through you instead of feeling like you have to, you know,
yes.
make it up.
Absolutely. Right. That's really cool. You know, in your book, Hope for a New Era, you know, you speak of, I believe, the golden era. Mm-hmm. And what is here for us to know? Because, you know, we're recording in late September 2025. Sometimes I think part of sharing these messages, it's like, you know, I can project onto others that they'll say, oh my gosh, how are you talking about this stuff? There's so many things going on in the outer world that are chaotic, that they're you know, just really hard to digest. And here I am over in this pocket, this portal, I'm talking to you for the podcast. And I don't know, for me, something drives me to keep doing the work and bringing messages like yours forth, because I think they're so important. And I think this is what my part of my work is, to be anchoring these as well. Mm-hmm. But I want you to talk about that, because I think you have some really nice perspectives on it and how to think about all that's going on in the outer world.
Absolutely. So. Well, just to frame it a little bit, when I talk about the golden new era, I'm referring to what a lot of people in the New Age space call the new earth, or Christians talk about a new heaven on the new earth. Buddhists seek nirvana. It's this time that through millennia, we have heard or dreamt of arriving in a beautiful paradise. But people have different ideas. And so now's our time to start evolving into this next phase for humanity. And the book really seeks to clarify for people all the misunderstandings.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we need to work on ourselves and raise our frequency and raise our consciousness, because it all starts with each one of us being the change we want to see in the world. You know, fostering kindness and compassion and leading with love and all of those things. But a lot of people, both in spiritual and personal development spaces, get lost in the learning and developing themselves and not taking action. And a really big message in all my work is you have to take action, and don't even wait, because we're never done, right? We're never done improving and evolving ourselves. So you can't wait to feel like you're done cooking before you go out into the world to make a difference. So the biggest misunderstanding when people talk about the new earth is that it will be delivered to us if we've maybe worked on our positive thoughts, our frequency, whatever it is people are working on, that we'll magically end up in this new place. And that's not happening.
Okay.
The new earth is this earth with raised consciousness. And when more of us, and that'll take time, there'll be a lot of people currently on this planet that resist, but when enough of us are working through raised consciousness, we will be able to create peace, which is the first component toward creating a better world together, because right now nobody can even talk to each other. So how can we come to a consensus about how to make a better world?
Right.
The world and all of its systems and regulations and governments is really broken. Even in the countries that you might look at and think, oh, they seem to have their act together, there's a lot that could be improved. But first, everyone has to stop the infighting and the name calling and the trying to be right, because our egos get in the way, trying to be right versus listening to all perspectives and embracing. This is a change in paradigm, really, to embrace the idea that there will be no progress until we embrace different perspectives. We'll stay right where we are, or it'll get so much worse, because we're destroying our world right now with climate change and, you know, all of the wars and the conflict and the suffering in the world. It's not going to be better until we can actually have conversations about what we could possibly do to make it better. And the big shift from a spiritual perspective is just understanding that, you know, it's not up to humans alone. Divinity's with us. They're not going to allow us to destroy the planet, although we seem to be trying really hard to do that. We will evolve, but the timing of how soon is up to us.
Okay. Yes.
divinity's trying to guide us. We have to listen and take action based on that guidance so that each of us can understand our own path and purpose and how we are here and meant to help.
Yes, yes. There's so many beautiful components to that. And I'm thinking of the things that are seemingly small that we do even within our own practices, or our own relationships within our families, practicing communication that connects rather than disconnects, you know, whether it's working with a therapist, or what I'm hearing you saying is like that work, taking it, maybe even taking action, beginning with our microcosm, what our, you know, our world that's within ourselves and right in front of us, is it's really, really meaningful. It's not for naught, you know, it's because we tend to think that, right? We think we're these islands living in these homes on our own. And this is that our lives don't affect anyone else's. And you're saying, yeah, it does. The work matters. And if you begin to take action and whatever you know to be true for myself or the listener or, you know, whoever is taking in this information, then start there. Is that a correct interpretation?
Absolutely. And in my second book, which was written with more of a secular lens, because I know a lot of people aren't ready for the spiritual conversation, I talk a lot about what I call micro leadership, which just means recognizing the influence you already have in your daily interactions and being more intentional in those interactions, because your energy, just the energy that you're showing up with, can make a difference in that other person's life if they're having a really bad day. And then, of course, you know, if you're intentional in those interactions, you could make a much more positive impact on that person, and you start a ripple, because then that person goes out and has how many interactions in the day?
Absolutely. It's so true.
And we never see that ripple is the thing. So you just have to imagine it and know every interaction is important. And when you really start to sit with it and recognize the influence you already have, and you don't have to see yourself as a leader, that term culturally turns a lot of people off because they weren't raised to see themselves that way. Nobody gave them a title.
Right.
But if you just recognize the influence you already have, you'll be more confident in those little actions that start to come to you. If you're tuned in to your inner wisdom, you'll be more confident in taking those little actions, those ideas that come to you, going and checking on your neighbor, you know, or taking them a dinner if they're shut in all of a sudden, or just those little things that can make a difference. Noticing that there's something really broken in your community that you have an idea about fixing, you know, speaking out or talking to your friend group about your ideas so that you can recruit help. And maybe someone else is more comfortable taking that lead role, but you're great behind the scenes. There's just so many ways each person can make a difference. And in the spiritual space, especially, we are here. If you've been drawn to this area, you volunteered to be here right now at this huge up-leveling, this new chapter for humanity. It's a very exciting time. The whole cosmos is, you know, wired in on what's going on planet Earth right now. And you volunteered to be here and to help. And I can't tell you how, but you're here to make a difference. And those little things can and will. But just know that it's not, paradise won't be handed to us. We have to create it.
Yeah. And that you're making me think of the idea around that we're surrounded by awakeners, and it could be listening to a podcast, but it could be someone in your sphere that you admire, something they've done or a way they approach things. But we're getting ideas all the time too, as to this awakening and this awareness, which I love. And I think if we can if we can work with the parts that make us feel bad about ourselves, or that we're not enough, or we're not, like you were saying in the very beginning, like I wasn't given the gift of channeling. Right. Oh, who am I to come out? But you were able to transcend some old operating story within yourself to be like, oh, maybe that's not true. So what's a question, or you want to say something about that first?
Yeah. Well, first of all, recognize that a lack of self-love is really pervasive around the world. It's not just our culture. It's most because of the way we were raised, even with loving parents, the authoritarian style that a lot of us were raised with created this lack of self-love and self-worth and this hesitation to step out of your comfort zone. So recognize that as being completely normal. And once you recognize it, you can move past the resistance. But the real cheat around that fear is to recognize where that nudge is coming from. Because if divinity is guiding you, what exactly are you afraid of? The fear just went away for me. And I was a big chicken.
Yes, I could be. And then we give ourselves this new proof that, okay, I'm on the right track. Mm-hmm. And that good things can happen when I start to go in that direction too.
Absolutely. And I'll be clear, not everything that I'm guided to do works out the first time out of the gate the way I want it to. And I am reminded all the time that time is a human construct. And sometimes things take more time. And sometimes we have to take that step to learn something. We get that feedback and then new ideas come to us. So you can't be married to the first idea that comes to you, but take action on it and then evaluate. Get the feedback, evaluate, and don't ever think of it as failure. That helps with the fear aspect as well.
Yes, exactly. Do you feel, I love when I read about how putting ourselves in action, it gets the ball rolling. It's the physics and object in motion stays in motion.
Yep.
And that concept fascinates me because there's been many times even within my own business that it feels more like inertia. But then when I get the ball rolling, the ideas start to flow. And all I can do is we're perfectly imperfect beings, right? It's like we're not going to get it right all the times, nor does it matter. Because if we're moving towards a culture of non-judgment, then hey, it's fair game. There's not the failure that we were brought up to believe.
Well, and it's so funny because we all have this picture of how we need to do things perfectly, or most of us, I should say. And so we're afraid to start because we don't want to fail, or we're afraid of judgment or rejection and all these things. And yet we all know the logic behind the idea that nobody's perfect.
Right.
And every successful person has had a myriad of failures to get to where they are.
Right.
They just fail forward, fail faster, and keep going.
Yeah. I find it fascinating. I'm always interested in young people's experiences. And I find, and I've brought up three kids who are now in their early 20s, but the whole grading system that we employ within the US fascinates me because we've got this, someone concocted a 5-letter grading system. And that final one was an F, standing for really failure. And, you know, I think of now, like, can we just have a grading system that's A through C and make everyone, you know, I don't know if that would be different, but gosh, in my vision of a new era, there's just something better that exists.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our education system is not the best. And I think there are a whole lot of ways it will become reinvented in our next era, because we can do better. And it's not just with education, of course, but we've been putting band-aids for years on things that weren't working well with new ideas, which are great, but the whole thing has to kind of be cleared out and started over. Many systems. Anyway,
it's an interesting thing what's happening right now, because things are being decimated, and you know, it's you just kind of have to hold it all, and you know, with the hope of just like new innovation coming through that will benefit all. I wanted to ask you, Cynthia, about when you, I had a recent guest who also, and you've been my only two, who have said, I'm a seer. What do you mean by that?
It's so funny. That word was given to me to use. And I was like, well, nobody uses that word. What does that even mean? And basically, well, it means you see the future. Now, I see the vision that divinity has for us. I don't see every step of the way because it's up to all of us with our free choice to create it. But I see not just the possibility, but where it's been promised that we will get to. And it's part of my path to illuminate that message and hold that vision out there for folks to hold on to and start taking action toward, because these are really rocky, turbulent times. And it's very easy to get really ticked off, first of all, about some of the nonsense you might read about on the news, or disillusioned because so much of it feels out of our control. And this is when I really encourage you again to develop that inner wisdom, your divine GPS, and check in on how can I help today? What can I do to make a difference for someone outside of the normal circle? Because I'm sure you do this all the time, but what can I do differently? Because as soon as you take that first small action, more ideas come, but also you feel that hope and that empowerment.
Yes, yes. I found a neat thing, like when you said before, when you have the ripples and you don't see the ripples down the way, I found kind of like a corollary with my, this work and my personal life, that I've become a better reflector of another person's brilliance. And when you start to open that field of not being afraid that anything's going to be taken away from you if I give to you with a compliment, a reflection of what you're putting into the world, I love thinking about like that. You talk about energy and how that can expand people as well. Because when we serve as models for being the compassion, holding the love frequency, whatever it is, it's contagious. It really is. And sometimes I'll get, not often, but sometimes I'll get a comment back to me like, oh, you're leading me on my path in a sense. Like it's very, it's not often, but I think like, oh, wow. Okay. There's a greater reason that I sort of know about, but not completely, but that's for all of us too.
You know, you reminded me of something else that I like to highlight to people when you talk about the ripple. Another thing that you can do beyond taking those small actions and just knowing the ripple you've started is to reflect or coach. You don't have to take classes to be able to coach somebody, your children, your friends, your family members. Coach people on the influence they have. When you become really aware of your own, help them see their own and help them feel empowered, not just inspired by you, which is great and hopeful because you're hopeful, but empowered to go out there and take action on their own. And you want to talk about a powerful ripple then.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And it makes me think of how in so many things and our personal experiences where like, you know, I'll often think like, we all just want to be seen. We all want to be heard. And that's why I think when we reflect back to somebody and they say, huh, what, what'd you, oh, thank you. It's because we're not used to living in a culture where we're just, I don't know, generating a lot of like hope is the word that came, but it's just, it's tapping into someone's spark, their brilliance, their, and if we're all kind of doing that, like even when you were talking, I like the concept of, well, grid work. I've never studied it per se, but just that when people are taking the action, like you're talking about, they become like a beacon or a lighthouse or a point on a grid mm-hmm. around the world that you can't, you know, my town's 50,000. I know there's a lot of lights even within my own town. They really matter. Mm-hmm. They matter. There are, and sometimes at the end of the day, sometimes I'll be like, I'm tired. I don't even know what I'm doing. And then what I do all the time now, Cynthia, is I'm like, go to bed or just rest, zone out, do whatever you need to do, wake up tomorrow and do it again. But when you're tired, yeah. for whatever reason, take a rest, sleep.
No, absolutely.
I don't know if you ever feel that way. Like you're like, okay, I just need to start tomorrow.
It's very hard to recognize your own brilliance. Mm-hmm. That which mm-hmm. is what you're talking about. You know, you go and you do and you don't recognize, because if when you recognize the light that you're sharing and the work that you're doing having an impact, then you get really inspired and empowered. Mm-hmm. But if you right. don't recognize it, it can be very exhausting.
Yes. You're reminding me, like, because we're talking about going from these older paradigms to newer paradigms, is like where we used to depict, let's just take women as full of themselves or, you know, all sorts of labels. It's like the energy is shifting and changing, it feels like. So if we understand that shining someone's light is not selfish or it's not self-serving, that it's actually an expansive thing to do, mm-hmm. We're moving out of that competition. I feel like just this title sea change that's happening in front of us. And sometimes is that we can look and be like, nothing's happening. But if we're really truthful, really, like, things are happening. Things are changing.
Mm-hmm. They are. Well, if nothing else, there are more and more people recognizing the higher frequencies and opening mm-hmm. up to spirituality, or, you know, a lot of the turbulence and the extreme weather events are waking people up to the need to get involved. Because, you know, it's that saying, when you have what you've always had, you don't appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. things are shifting in a lot of ways. And people are starting to recognize, oh, wait a minute, why is that? Do I want this for my future? Mm-hmm. What mm-hmm. do I need to pay attention to or get involved in? And, you know, there's a whole lot of different levels and different areas that may call to you. And I highly recommend that you don't get overwhelmed and try and go down too many rabbit holes, because no one can impact everything that we True. Would like to, mm-hmm. for sure. Just pick mm-hmm. one, easy, like the easiest area for you to reach an impact. And everyone's probably super busy, and maybe that's just making a small donation somewhere, or maybe it's having a conversation with a friend about an idea you have, or a desire, yeah. or a frustration, to brainstorm, not to go down the rabbit hole in a negative way, but from a positive spin of, well, we don't like it. What would be better? And is there a way we can help make it better?
Yes. It's just good advice, good grounded advice. And I love that that's coming through you as a spiritual practitioner, but there's something to it that's been coming to me is like, and we need the practical advice for our daily lives. Mm-hmm. And it's simple practices sometimes that we can begin to pull in and anchor a bit that can really make a difference. Yeah. Do you have ones that you like to turn to?
Well, the number one, first and foremost thing that I encourage everyone to do is just a little quiet time every morning, trying to develop their divine GPS or inner knowing. Okay. And you don't have to meditate. I was never a meditator. I would put mm-hmm. resistance up and it just wouldn't work for me. You don't have to. And I do mm-hmm. actually, maybe I can share a link with you to my YouTube channel that I have a training there on developing your intuition or inner knowing. But that would be first stop, just a few minutes every morning. That's all you need to do. If you're intentional and consistent, you'll notice change quickly. And once you notice that guidance coming in, you will feel so much better about everything you're doing rather than being in indecision or feeling overwhelmed because there is so much in the world that we can't impact. The other thing that we haven't really delved into, and I'm just going to suggest that people check out a free resource I have on my website. There's a lot of misunderstandings about how to raise your frequency, and it's important that your intentional and positive thoughts are not how you do it. So I will, you know, include that in the show notes or what have you, because first we want to raise our frequencies as far as what we can do for ourselves, which will help others. When you raise your frequency, again, at those higher frequencies, you start to connect easier with your divine aspects. So that's really important. You also will find it easier to manage your emotions. It's very important that we foster that inner peace, people call it, that calm, so that we can think clearly and speak diplomatically and be the change, the peace that we want to see in the world. It starts within, and that requires emotional intelligence, which, you know, is a skill that we would talk about and train on in the corporate workplace. But it really, it's important for everyone, and it becomes so much easier as your frequency rises.
Ah, that's so interesting.
And,
yeah.
And then the last really great nugget about raising your frequency, when you get to your highest ascension point for this lifetime, which everyone can do, and it's 500 million bioenergy units. It sounds quite high, but everyone can get there. When you get to that point, you don't have to do anything about raising your consciousness because your divine aspect will do it for you. And of course, when we all have raised consciousness, we are interacting and moving and being in unconditional love and empathy and leading with compassion and being how we need to be to create this better world.
Beautiful. Yeah, I'll definitely include those in the show notes. And it's a good, I love how you're sharing that, you know, not everybody is a meditator and that we can receive guidance whether or not we are. And beginning our days with that sort of ritual, I think of a lot of things you're saying, like even learning the emotional intelligence and giving ourselves more time instead of reacting, but turning into, you know, responding and slowing down and all the things. They're all gifts that we ultimately are giving ourselves. Yes. We're giving more spaciousness. We're giving, you know, space to, hey, if it's 5 or 10 minutes in the morning, that's a gift you just gave yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing we think we're so conditioned to think it's something that we have to do. And it's like, no, right. It is carving out of time, but it is a way that you're becoming of being.
It is a great gift you can give yourself. But it's also, you know, I talk about your spiritual skills, like developing your clairs, your intuition. It's a habit as well. You're developing a habit of practicing the skill. Because skills take practice, and everyone's bad at it in the beginning, or most people are.
Yes, yes. It's interesting because when you use the divine GPS, that I really love that, because I was going to ask you, for a person to visualize that and they have their own divine GPS. When GPS first started coming out and we would mount the, you know, device on our dashboard, let's say, it was hooking up to more of like a grid, like of energy, some, or like a Wi-Fi, right? But when we've got our divine GPS, what are we connecting to? Like what? How would you explain that to the listener?
Well, so our consciousness, which what we're aware of, our conscious awareness is a very, very small piece of our consciousness. Our consciousness as humans, we have, most people are familiar with the term subconscious, which is over 90% of what you're familiar with, that, you know, your brain function and your ability, the way your consciousness functions, most of it you're not aware of. But then beyond your subconscious is your divine consciousness or divine aspect. And that's what I'm talking about, because your intuition, what people think of, the actual definition of intuition talks about it coming from your subconscious, just because it's not your conscious awareness, but it's not really your subconscious. It could be, but most of the time when we get those gut feelings or that knowing that you can't explain, that's coming from your divine consciousness. People call it higher consciousness or inner knowing. It's part of you. It's that divine being that you are when you're not here, but it's still part of you when you're here, and it's with you your entire life, and it wants to guide you. I had a friend recently say to me, oh, I keep forgetting to check in, because I'll always say, well, did you check with your guidance? And she was like, well, you know, I don't want to bother them. I'm like, no. Listen, it's you. It's part of you. It's why it's with you. It wants you to check in. It wants you to intentionally listen. But I will also add, because people get a little caught up in, well, but I have free will. How does this all connect? I don't want to give up my autonomy. First of all, it's part of you. So there's that. But also your conscious awareness, the part you're aware of, gets to always be in the driver's seat. That is your free will or free choice. You are in the driver's seat. You don't have to listen to the GPS, right? You can go completely off course. I don't know why you would want to. If it's telling you there's traffic up ahead and maybe you want to reroute, you don't have to.
Yeah, that's great. You're right. And I'm thinking too, when people are starting out and they're maybe playing around with connecting to that part of themselves, to their spirit guides, to, do you ever have them ask for signs that might be put in their path in terms of, you know, okay, if this is true for me, send me a feather, let's say, or anything like that?
No, but I do teach a technique where they can, as I said, I did, I was cheating with clairsentience, be like, okay, give me a yes, if, you know, in my body, give me a feeling. So that way, you know, it's very much internal. You're getting to know your clairsentience. When you get signs from the outside, this is another rabbit hole we could go down. Those are typically from your spirit guides or angels, whatever you like to call them. We all have a divine team keeping an eye on us and trying to keep us going in the right direction, sending those synchronicities. Or once you become curious and you start looking for things like a sign with angel numbers or through card decks, they will communicate with you that way. But ideally, they're trying to guide you toward really connecting with your own inner knowing or your own divine aspect, because that is the clearest guidance you're going to receive. So that's the goal.
That's good.
But a lot of people, especially when you're first starting, want to get those messages from wherever. You know, I loved animal wisdom. I'd be looking, you know, ooh, I see a really big bird circling. I wonder if that's a message, and I'd go look it up, you know.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. You've done a beautiful job, Cynthia, of, for me, and I know the listener too, but kind of talking about intuition, talking about that divine aspect of ourselves that's here for us, ready, willing, able to allow us to connect. And then I think that that was a nice end cap to talk about that, the, our spirit team, because I know that that's a whole nother, you know, entity, but it's wonderful because you're also a clear example of, like you said, receiving this later in your life and you allowing it and really living with it, by mm-hmm. it, through it, everything. So I think it's just a beautiful model of what's there for us, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one other hint, I would say the reason, or part of the reason I up-leveled so quickly was curiosity. Mm-hmm. You know, the breadcrumbs were there and I just mm-hmm. stayed curious. You know, nobody mm-hmm. is going to leap right into something scary overnight. Yes. If I had started out hearing that I was a clear channel, I would have been like, oh no. Who are you? You know, what? Yeah. What? Yeah. And I'll tell you another really scary thing I tried to resist was when I was on a mentoring call and someone called me a spiritual leader. I was like, what? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No. Time out. I am a leader and I've always been a leader. That's in my DNA. I'm just learning this spiritual stuff. I am not leading anybody anywhere. And, you know, it's semantics, because when the wisdom is coming from divinity to me, all I have to mm-hmm. do is share it.
Yes, yes, I agree. You know, I had a moment like that the other day, and my teacher for the last 4 years, she first called her program Soul Care, but it was really embedded in spiritual psychology. And I went on someone else's podcast and she had said, Maureen's a spiritual psychologist. And I said, no, wait. Like, no, that is not. And I did, because it was like, no, I'm not taking this psychologist title. The theory is mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. I'm a coach who uses this modality, but it was the same sort of thing. It's funny you say that. You know, is there a message? I always ask my guests, is there a message? We've covered so many beautiful mm-hmm. ones for humanity, for individuals, and anything else that's wanting to come through.
Believe in yourself. I know that, I mean, it's easy to say and even to think, but to do, you know, to actually take action, believe in your vision and your guidance, because mm-hmm. you know, at first it's going to be a little scary. You've got to test the envelope and recognize where it's coming from, and it's not there to mislead you. Believe in yourself and your guidance, and just mm-hmm. take a step, because it gets easier. The first mm-hmm. step's always the hardest.
Okay. Thank you, Cynthia.
You're welcome.
I loved every part of this conversation today. We'll put your information in the show notes. Thank you for being here. As always, thank you to the listener, and we will see you in the next episode. Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.